listening to The Breakfast Club. Just like Ben Everill, the PGA Tour media manager, who is getting ready for the USPGA, the second major of the campaign. It's out of place, Ben. Good morning.
Yeah, how you going, guys? Well, this is the way we're going to do things from now on. It's the second major of the year. We're going to keep the... They're going to have the season of championships for all time from now on. It's going to take this May date. We're going to go March Players, April Masters, May PGA, June US Open, and July British Open, and then August will be the playoffs. So that's the way golf is these days. And I tell you, it's a pretty awesome sight here to see this course, different than it was 9-odd years ago when I was here in rain and swampy heat. It's sunny, with a good breeze, and it's setting up nice for a few Aussies.
So where are we? For those playing at home, where are we? And what's the course looking like? You said the conditions are nice, but what about the course itself?
Yeah, look, we're at the Ocean Course on Kira Island in South Carolina. We were here in 2012 where Rory McIlroy had an 8-shot smashing of everybody. But it was big storms that got certain halves of the course off the off at times and made it all disjointed that actually crueled Adam Scott, who was our best hope that year, coming off that loss he'd had at Lytham. And then, of course, the next major he played, he won the Masters. So it was when Adam was in his sort of peak. He's ready to rumble again here. The wind comes off the ocean, if you will, the Atlantic Ocean here, and that makes it an interesting course for someone like Mark Leishman, who grew up in that scenario. So yeah, as I said, it's been over 5 years since we had an Aussie major winner, but a few guys are feeling quietly confident.
Talk to us about the course. You said that it's hopefully going to be a bit sort of firmer and whatnot because of the weather. I often think of coastal courses being windswept, which sort of plays into the hands of a few of the Australians, particularly if it plays hard. Is that what it will do this year?
Yes, we don't have any forecast rain, which is awesome. The wind is up today, probably more than it will be during the actual tournament, but the gusts will be here no matter what. And it's an interesting course where it essentially has two nines, both go out and in, like almost like a links style. So you go, you know, downwind for the first five holes, you'll go into the wind the first five holes, then downwind for 10 in a row, if you will, and then back into the wind for the last five. So it really presents an interesting scenario for guys trying to figure out, you know, how to keep their rhythm going at certain sections of the course. And as long as it doesn't rain, yeah, and they can no bother over watering it, it's going to be a serious test. Now, it's not true links style because there are a lot of like water hazards and sort of waste areas that the Americans like to put in their courses. And some of the greens are elevated, so you can't just always run it up as easy as you would, say, at a Royal Melbourne style or something in Scotland. It just is quirky. And by the way, it's like 8 million yards long, the longest potential course ever in major golf if they want to set it up like that.
Right, okay. So from an Australian perspective, we've seen Matt Jones doing quite well on the PGA Tour at the moment. Cameron Smith's going okay. Mark Leishman had the top 10 at the Masters and has continued on that good form. And of course, Leishman and Cam Smith got together to win that the duel thing, the whatever it's called. And then there's Jason Day, who's battling a bit. And then there's Adam Scott, who you've sat down and done an interview with. So there's a bit to get through here.
Yeah, and we also actually have Lucas Herbert, who's in the field, yeah. Cameron Davis and Jason Scribner. There's eight Aussies altogether in this field. So it's been a long time since we've had a big contingent like that. Now, whether they can all contend is debatable. But as I said, I think it really does set up for the two you mentioned that got together at Zurich, the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, Leishman and Smith. Leish loves this sort of thing. Now, he's been terrible in US Opens and PGA Championships in the past, but that's because he doesn't usually get a course like this in these events. And he's actually circled this month where he gets to play a PGA at Kiawah and a US Open at Torrey Pines, where he's won as the best chance of his career to win either of these majors, and maybe the only real chance he'll get, he thinks, is in his career. So he's pumped for this next month. And then Smitty, he's just been in red-hot form. He can get up and down from anywhere. He loves the hard and fast conditions as well. And I think it really sets up him. And as I mentioned earlier, Adam Scott, look, he's changed his mentality to go back to what he was thinking back in 12, 13, 14, when he was a dominant force in golf, his majors, winning one. And I think I worked out he had, in a 16-major period for 4 years, he had 13 top 15 results. And he said he's gone back to what worked then to try to replicate it.
Did he say why he went away from that, Ben? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense when you put it like that.
Okay, I've got to tread lightly here, but let's say that I mentioned 2011 to 2014 is the 4-year period. In early 2015, Adam had the first of his now three kids. So things right. and priorities change, practice changes, the ability to sort of do things the way you had always done changes. And literally after he left the Masters a month ago, he'd had enough, and he just sort of said, look, he went to Marie and the family and the team and said, look, I've got the next 3-4 months of this condensed schedule. I've got to have a crack. Can we work something out so I get back to what I used to do and really focus in hard on these big events? And they were, of course, very supportive, and he's gone and done that and feels really ready to go.
Are you saying he's sleeping in separate rooms?
No, I'm saying that he's doing his full days of practice instead of like, you know, a couple of hours at a time and then going and playing with the kids and then coming back out, and he's just having like full work days, if you will, when he needs to.
Rightio. So, well, it's cool. At least there's been an assessment, because there has been one of the conversations from golf fans, or Aussie golf fans, in the last couple of years, as you say, that what's happened to Adam Scott? How come he's not contending anymore? So clearly there's been some distractions. He's back on the horse now, and we know at his best, Ben. I mean, he's clearly one of the best ball strikers on the planet, and he's got the game to win major championships. We've seen all that. Does he believe that he can? Like, is that just false belief or false hope that he wants to, or does he really believe that he can?
No, I think he really does believe that he can, and he knows that, like, the next 2-3 years is the best window for him to try to do that and add to his 2013 Masters title. Now, this, as I said, he was in contention here in 2012, and, in fact, I was walking with him that year, and it was actually distractions from a playing partner, one Sergio Garcia, that put him off, and he lost a few shots right before a big storm, and it just sort of derailed him enough that by the time he sort of got things back on track, Rory had made a gap on him and was sort of unbeatable from that point. And he sees it as a missed opportunity that year. And he knows that because it's a ball striker's paradise here, if he just turns up and hits all the greens, he'll be up in the top, and needs to make a few putts then from that point. So he's excited.
Of the big names, obviously Rory McIlroy has rocketed back into form with what he did at Quail Hollow. There's a bit of, you know, Dustin Johnson hasn't been going particularly well in recent times, but this is a course that should suit him. You've got Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka with that injury concern. It's sort of a bit of a mishmash when it comes to the big names coming into this week.
Yeah, I think if you look at the odds, it's sort of the first time in a while there's not like a single-digit favourite.
Yep.
Guys are sort of 12 to 15 to 1 and spread across the board, and I think that's the way it is. You know, there's anyone can sort of win it. There's 99 of the top 100 players in the world are here. If they get on their game for a week, they can certainly contend. And one guy you didn't mention who's come back into form too is Jordan Spieth out of nowhere. Like, he's chasing the career Grand Slam here. You know, he's probably the best chance he's had in a long time of actually making that happen. Now, look, he needs obviously to get a bit of luck with the distance and the winds and whatnot if he's going to contend as well. But he's from Texas, where the wind does blow, and he played half decent last week coming off COVID, which was what sort of I saw him get a little bit tired late in the Byron Nelson. And I think he was conserving energy on purpose, ready for this week. So it is seriously wide open, and that's another reason why I feel good about the Aussies' chances, because I don't really think there's a dominant player any sort of way out in front of anyone else right now.
So who would you lean to pre-tournament, Ben? We love stitching you up and try and get you to pin someone down early doors. Who are you pinning down early?
You know what? I'm going to go on a limb for a guy that says, as I said, best PGA result before this was T12, and that is Mark Leishman. Leishman is going to win a major championship this week at Kiwa Island.
Righto. Well, that is good business for us, because that means we get to come up Monday morning and watch it all unfold and be very, very pleased when he's hoisting that trophy over his head. We love the Leisha end here. We love you as well, mate. Look forward to reading more of your stuff at the PGA Tour website. Thank you, pal.
No worries, guys. And I'll be working for AAP again this week in a one-off, so they should see plenty of stuff in the papers.
Oh, beautiful. Fantastic. Great stuff. Ben Everill there, PGA Tour Media Manager, head of the US PGA, the second major of the season at Kiowa Island in South Carolina. Then you would know this, of course. The course was built with Bermuda grass. It's common in the southeast.
Yeah, very similar sort of grass to what I've got in my backyard.
Oh, the TikTok, yes. It has been changed to a seaside-friendly strain of Paspalum.
You wouldn't want that.
Well, my word, you do.
You got that in my garden at the moment.
It's better suited for the wind, salt, and sun of an oceanside setting. So it's no point being in your garden in Templestowe. So you've got the wrong grass. You need to talk to someone about that. It's got no grain. This is the key with Paspalum. It's got no grain, which means it's smoother greens. And you can attack the pins. Sticky. Rory McIlroy called it in 2012. Sticky. So you can attack the pins, really get some good action on your chip shots, your wedges.